you've got your Bibles, we're going to start this morning in the book of Isaiah. You turn to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to read verses 3 through 6. Isaiah 53, starting at verse 3, and I believe it'll also be up on the screens. It says, "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely our griefs he himself bore and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." A very famous prophetic passage referring to Jesus. Now you can turn to Matthew chapter 1, and we'll get there in just a moment. "What shall I compare the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like a man at a white elephant gift exchange. He's the first one to pick. He looks over the table and he chooses the gift with the most elaborate wrapping paper, an incredible bow, and he thinks this is the one. And he's hoping for something incredible, something epic. He sits down, he unwraps the gift, and he opens the box only to find a rotten banana. This was not supposed to be a gag gift exchange. Sitting down, he feels dejected, and he watches as the rest of the party, one by one, goes and picks gifts off the table and steals gifts like the game goes, and everybody's ignoring his rotten banana. Until the last man in the circle stands up, knowing what was hidden in the final package, for he had put it there, he takes the rotten banana, freeing the man who had picked first to open the last package. Walks over to the table and takes an unassuming small box wrapped in simple brown paper. Opening it up, much to his astonishment, he finds inside the keys to a brand new Porsche. And it's parked outside. That's the kingdom of God." We've been in our series this Christmas, and I present to you the final gift exchange. As we wrap up this series, pun completely and totally intended, I want to look at two declarations that were made about Jesus from the angels as today we talk about my failures for his forgiveness. And that first declaration is found in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Sin in the Greek, in the original language, literally means to miss the mark. Think of an archer who's taking aim at a target across the field. And the bullseye, that's the mark. And when the archer lets the arrow fly, if it goes anywhere outside of dead center of the bullseye, he has missed the mark. That's what sin means. It means to miss the mark. Now, the mark in our lives, the mark is perfection. That's the mark. So anytime that we have missed the mark, we have sinned. We've missed it. When there is perfection, there is harmony and there is relationship with God. But when we miss the mark, when we miss perfection by sinning, we separate ourselves from God. And we break relationship with him. Even if it's not intentional, separation from God is the consequence of missing the mark. It's the consequence of imperfection and sin in our lives. If you unintentionally speed down the freeway, you are breaking the law, and you are subject to the punishment that comes with breaking the law, whatever speed that you get caught at. Even though you may be completely unaware that you are speeding down the freeway, when you get caught, you are guilty nonetheless. Actually, even if you don't get caught, you're still guilty. Say this with me, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. That's the penalty for breaking the law requirement of perfection. We have all sinned. We have all failed, and we have all missed the mark of perfection. Every one of us, we are all guilty lawbreakers, and we have the penalty of death coming to us. Listen, this is not okay with God. He's not okay with this outcome and with what is happening in our lives. Now, so you might think, well, if God's not okay with it, well, then why doesn't he just change the law so that the wages of sin is no longer death? I mean, he is God, right? So God can technically do whatever he wants, but here's the problem, that God is perfect, and imperfection cannot stand to be in the presence of perfection. And so it's us, we separate ourselves from God. Imperfection separates, which is a problem for us. So God gives the gift to solve the problem. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever might believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. God desires no one to die separated from him, which is the result of sin. So he gave his son Jesus, so that we could be saved from the penalty of missing the mark. So the angel comes to Joseph in a dream and announces to him that Jesus was coming to save people from their sin. And in order for people to be saved from their sins, someone had to die, because that's the penalty for missing the mark. But it could not be just anyone. See, because not just anyone can take your penalty or my penalty for missing the mark, because everyone else has got the same penalty. And so you have to be perfect, have never missed the mark. You must be completely sinless if you are going to take someone else's guilt, someone else's punishment. It takes a perfect, sinless person who has never missed the mark to take the guilt and the punishment that's due to another person. So here's the gift exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says, he, speaking of God, made him, who is Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus, who is perfect, who is sinless, who never missed the mark, it says that he became sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Even though Jesus had never missed the mark, he took our sin on himself and he gave us righteousness, or another word for that is he gave us perfection. Jesus took our stinky, rotten banana, and he's the one who gave us the keys to the brand new Porsche, so to speak. The second angelic declaration about Jesus is found in Luke chapter 2. So turn to the right a little bit, a couple books in your Bible. Luke chapter 2. We'll start reading at verse number 6. It says, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. Pastor Barry talked in our very first week on the gift exchange. He talked about the exchange of our pressure for his peace. And he drilled down on the meaning of that word peace that we just read here in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. And it's the Greek word eirene. And it speaks to our salvation as part of the definition and the meaning of that word. And it's this: the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God. Without salvation that comes from Jesus, everyone has reason to fear God. And I'm not talking fear as in awe and amazement and wonder. I'm talking fear as in to be afraid for your life. We don't talk about judgment very often, and it may seem, Craig, that's a little bit heavy for a Christmas message to talk about judgment. Seriously, who doesn't want to hear the story, warm, cuddly message about little baby Jesus wrapped in a manger? This is God's gift of love to all of us. I mean, who doesn't want to hear that sermon? I want to give that sermon too, just as much as everybody wants to hear that sermon, because it's nice. Everybody loves little baby Jesus wrapped in the manger, and the sheep and the cows, and they moo and they tap their feet all in time. Everything's perfect. Jesus has a halo around his head. It's just this incredible scene. The reality is, though, talking about the coming judgment that is due to us for our sin does not take away from the message of love that is little baby Jesus laying in a manger. In fact, when we talk about judgment, the judgment that is coming for our sin, it doesn't take away, but it magnifies the message of love. Because that little baby who is laying in a manger, so perfect and so sweet and so cute and cuddly and adorable, he grows up to be a man, a perfect sinless man that gives his life, sacrifices his life for me and for you. That is love. So talking about judgment doesn't take away from love. It amplifies love. Remember, the wages of sin is death. And this is not just simply physical death, but it speaks of an eternal separation from God in hell. Several parables, when you read through the Gospels, Jesus refers to this place that he calls utter darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the description. This is hell. This is a literal place. This is not a figurative place, just something to prop up a story. This is a literal place. Turn to the very last book in your Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 10. It says, "And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him," this is Jesus, "who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things that were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Family, this is the reality of every person that does not choose salvation through Jesus. Let me be very clear on this. The lake of fire, hell, Hades, utter darkness, this was never a place intended for people. This was not created for us, for people. It was intended for Satan and for his demons. That is utter and total, complete separation from God for all of eternity. See, when we miss the mark, when we sin, we are separated from God, and the consequence, the result, is death. God has given the gift of forgiveness for all of our sin through Jesus. He takes all of our failures and he gives us all of his forgiveness, wiping the slate clean, making it just as if you had never sinned. You'd never made a mistake. You never missed the mark, making you perfect. Jesus took all of our imperfection and gave us all of his perfection. But this is a choice that every person must make for themselves. You don't grow up into this. You don't become a member of a religious organization to receive this. It's a choice that every person must make. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than standing in your garage makes you a car. You have to make the choice and the decision. Listen, God does not force forgiveness upon anyone. He gives us the power to choose, the power of choice. And we either choose Jesus or we choose eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Now, you might not like the choices, but that does not change the options. There's only two options. You either choose Jesus or you choose eternal separation from God. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He's not a way. He is the way, the only way. He's very clear, very clear. No one comes to the Father except through him. You can't get in through the side door, through the back gate. You can't jump the fence or tunnel under the wall. No one gets through to the Father except through Jesus. He is the way. The angel declared to Joseph that Jesus would bring salvation to or save people from their sins. That is peace on earth. But listen, peace on earth is not a blanket statement for everyone. The declaration was this: peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's the declaration of peace. God is pleased when there's a relationship with him through Jesus. That's when God is pleased. Peace is for those that choose salvation. There is no peace without salvation, and there is no salvation without Jesus. We have this incredible gift, this gift exchange before us. My failures for his forgiveness. But it's useless unless we open the gift, or in other words, unless we activate it. The man in the parable could have sat down with that simple box and just been happy and smiling. I no longer have the rotten banana. And he just sat there with the box. But he would never drive away in the new Porsche if he never opened the box. And if he opened the box and saw the keys, he'd be like, "Great, I've always wanted a brand new set of keys. This is amazing. What a cool Porsche keychain. I can hang my, you know, my Volvo key on here, or my Beater VW Bug key on here. This is awesome." You have to open it and you have to activate it if you're going to actually receive it and use it. This is how we open and activate the gift of forgiveness. It says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 that salvation is found in no one else. And this is speaking of Jesus. "For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Romans 10:9 says, "If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is God, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Calling on Jesus, declaring your belief that he is God in the flesh and that he is alive after giving his life on the cross in our place, that is opening the gift of forgiveness. It's not complicated at all. Then again, receiving a gift isn't complicated. No one has to give the instructions to a child on how to receive gifts on Christmas morning. Somehow, they're just born with the understanding and the knowledge of how to receive a gift. Really, not very often do you actually have to teach them how to open gifts. They know. I don't know how they know, but it's not just a pretty box. But they know that there's something inside, and so they open it. Now, activating the gift, that's another thing. See, opening the gift and receiving forgiveness is the gospel, or in other words, good news of salvation. But God has more for us than salvation. He's got a kingdom for us to live in. This is the gospel, or the good news of the kingdom. Matthew 10, 37 through 39. Jesus says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. So we activate the gift of salvation instead of just opening it. Don't just open the gift of salvation and just receive forgiveness. Activate it and live in the kingdom. See, there is now no love in your life that should even come close to comparing for the love that you have for Jesus. There's no comparison. We pick up our cross and we follow him through death to ourselves and through death to our desires. This is a Galatians 2:20 lifestyle. This is my favorite verse in the entire scripture. Paul writes, he says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This sounds nothing like just simply adding Jesus to everything else that I do in my life. We don't add Jesus to our lives. We give our lives. We lay our lives down. We surrender our lives. And it's now no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith through the Son of God who loves me, who gave his life for me. It's not about my desires. It's not about my wishes and my wants. It's about death to those things and living by faith through Christ. That's living in the kingdom. The gospel of salvation is just opening up the package and receiving forgiveness and then adding Jesus into everything else that we do, like it's some other kind of club. I go to the gym, I belong to the Costco club, I have a Sam's Club card, and I belong to Jesus. It's all these things that we belong to. That's not how that works. That's just salvation. But there's more to life than that. There's kingdom living. And you step into kingdom living when you die to yourself and to your desires, and you begin to live your life for his desires through you. Pick up your cross, he said. Follow me. Living your life by faith through Jesus, submitting and surrendering every aspect of your life so that you can truly live. You lose your life and you find your life all in the same process. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you may have life to the full. Life to the full that Jesus is offering is only found by surrendering to him. That's when you find life to the full. If you're just trying to add Jesus onto your life and everything else that you do, you are not going to experience life to the full. It's death to self. It's total surrender. That's when you experience life to the full. And it can be difficult to try and explain that to somebody because you're like, well, so I'm it's no longer about the things that I want or the things that I desire or my hopes and my dreams and all of these things. And I have to lay all those things down. And you say, yes, but it's only when you lay all those things down do you get to experience life that you're truly living, full, abundant, overflowing life, joy and love that you can't even begin to describe. But it comes with surrender. This is the message of Christmas. His life for my life. That's Christmas. We like to look at little baby Jesus and, you know, the shepherds and watching their flock at night and the angels and all of these things. But the message of Christmas is that little baby's life for your life, for my life. That's Christmas. And there's no other way to live. We're fooling ourselves if we try and live another way other than his life for my life. If you're here this morning and you haven't received, you haven't opened and you haven't activated the gift that Jesus has for you this morning, forgiveness, salvation, abundant life, then this is your time. God has you here for this moment. I won't even apologize for the message of how God brought you here. You may have thought that I was coming to hear a nice Christmas message and sing some carols, and I heard there was a gift exchange, I'm going to participate in that, that's going to be awesome, and then I'm just going to go home. God brought you here for this moment. He will orchestrate this moment for you over and over and over and over again in your life, continuing to give you the opportunity to say yes and to choose Jesus because he loves you that much. He gave it all for you because of his endless and extravagant love for you. Sometimes it just seems so big when we say, for God so loved the world. Just slide your name right in there. For God so loved Sylvia that he gave his one and only son. Right? For God so loved Jose that he gave his one and only son. Just slide your name right in there. So if you want to receive this gift this morning, just slip your hand up. Just right where you are. Just slip it up. Yeah, come on, I see those hands. Just leave your hands up. If you want to choose, and it's a choice. If you want to choose salvation and you want to know peace that comes from right relationship with God, knowing that the punishment and the judgment that is rightfully yours has been placed upon Jesus, and he takes that in your place, just lift your hand and say, that's me. That's what I want. If you want to know that your eternal future is secure with God and it's not in the lake of fire, just raise your hand and say, that's me. If you want abundant life that comes from total surrender to Jesus, then lift your hand this morning. There's already been two people who've lifted their hands and said, yeah, that's me. And so I'll wait for a moment. Is there anyone else? You want to receive the gift of Christmas this morning, his life for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, all together now, we're gonna pray this. And there's no magical words, there's no mystical sayings or things like that. We're just gonna pray. And I don't even have a prayer planned out. So let's just repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I believe that you gave your life for my life, that you are God in the flesh. And I give you all of my failures, and I receive your forgiveness. Teach me how to live a surrendered life so that I can live an abundant life. In Jesus' name.